How could a brand assessment help you refocus and reposition your brand? Let's talk about that in a second.
Welcome to the Brand Telling Podcast, where we share secrets, systems, and strategies you can use to unleash the power of story to build and grow your brand. The Brand Telling Podcast is brought to you by the award-winning team at Communication Strategy Group, bringing a combined 50-plus years of publishing, agency and client strategy, creative and tactical marketing experience. Please welcome your hosts, Principal and Chief Brand Teller, Arthur Germain, and Creative Director, Michael Simbrom.
Hi, this is Arthur Germain.
And this is Mike Simbrom.
And welcome to the Brand Telling Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about conducting your own brand assessment. Many marketers are already struggling with, you know, identifying the best places to focus their budgets when it comes to strengthening or promoting their brand stories. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's got to be kind of confusing for somebody who's not actually in that business. There's a lot of different things to focus on or try to consider. You got promotions, sponsorships, regular advertising, publicity, social media. You know, you can feel overwhelmed very quickly.
Yeah, I think that's a good term for it. I think there's so many things that people can do, but you know, no matter the size of the business, whether you know it's industry or it's revenue, every business can benefit from focusing its brand marketing efforts. And that focus, it really begins with an honest assessment of their brand marketing activities.
So what's the first thing that a company would look at, though? I mean, do they look at past performances? What did they do in the past year, the past 5 years? What if they don't have any, you know, history on the stuff? If they're starting out, for example,
yeah,
how are they going to focus it?
Right. I mean, if you've got history, of course, it gives you that starting point. If you don't, you're really starting from feeling, what am I ready for? So what we've done to help marketers focus their efforts on activities that will offer the most impact for their budgets, we launched a complimentary brand telling marketing assessment tool. It's a self-assessment quiz that returns a brief report, and it's got some guidance and some peer benchmarks, as well as links for additional complimentary resources. But to your point, if they've got things that they can talk about that they've done in the past, it gives them a place where they can kind of score themselves on a scale 1 to 4, how strongly they feel about it. And if they're in a startup mode, they get to score themselves as well. Do I feel that I'm ready to answer these questions? Do I feel that I'm set to do some of these things?
So they wind up at the end of the day with a kind of a written assessment, like a breakdown of their own responses, essentially. And they can look at them and say, yeah, I'm in pretty good shape. Or this, I need a lot of work.
That's exactly right. You know, the way we came up with this is that after discussing with many business marketers their own brand assessments, we kind of distilled the marketing questions that we use into the self-assessment. And it does. It yields this brief report, and it enables them to see, you know, where they have strengths and where they have weaknesses.
So how do they use that then? Are they going to, you know, magnify their strengths or look at their weaknesses? What's the procedure from that point on?
Yeah, you know, what we like to see is a focus on strengths and then slowly building up where they are in those weaker areas.
I think I like that approach because it kind of takes the pressure off of saying, oh my God, I'm in really bad shape. I've got to build these areas that I'm weak right at the start. If you're working with something you feel good about already, it gives you the confidence to go further.
Yeah, I think you're right. If we have a company that says they are producing regular public relations, maybe they're doing media outreach and they're being interviewed, or they're creating news releases on a regular basis, and they feel a little bit weak in the area of social media or in content marketing, what I say to them is, look, if this is where your strength is, let's continue to do that. Don't suddenly stop the consistency of the news release, but look for a way that you can use that and amplify it. Use it in your content marketing, maybe gathering up a few of them and turning it into a kind of a mini white paper or an ebook.
So if they're strong in social media, they can actually take some of those elements and use them in other sections that they feel weaker in?
Yeah, I think usually what they have in social media, it generally is pointing back to places on the website. They usually have some content. Maybe they've got some good visual content, and maybe they can build something from that. Often the case is often the flip, where people feel really weak in social media. They just don't have anything there.
I've noticed that more often.
And what we find is that they have lots of great stuff going on the website. Maybe there's a newsletter that they're setting, and they've got it out on a regular basis, a monthly basis. They can chunk that out, turn it into social media posts. They can break it up, pull something and turn a nice news release around.
Yeah, they could even do something if they have an infographic that they've built over the past year or whatever, and take the individual elements out of that and amplify on it a little bit, get into the weeds on it, something they can't do maybe in a different medium.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So if you've got this infographic, and usually an infographic's telling some kind of a story top to bottom. If you were to print it out, it's like two feet long. But at the top, you've got some kind of a problem you might have set out, and by the bottom, you hope you've got some kind of a solution. In there, you can kind of take that out. So what is the problem? And you might say, whatever the industry is, top three problems facing lawyers this year, that might be at the top. Somewhere in the middle is some of the things that they need to do. And then at the end is the solution, your solution. So breaking it out, like you said, you can really dig in. And if it's a good infographic, there's plenty of good graphics that you can use for infograms, those kind of small images that accompany your social media.
Yeah, it makes it look a little bit more bright rather than just looking at text all the time.
Yeah, you get tired a little bit of some of the social posts that it's just hashtag city. It's hard to read through. If there's a really good image that accompanies it, that can make it stronger.
Yeah, I guess it'll also stop an eyeball from just going across it.
Exactly.
So tell me a little bit more about the assessment then. How does that break up?
So we looked at this brand telling marketing assessment, and we broke it into four key areas. First is brand telling and visuals. The second is public relations. The third is content marketing. And the fourth is media and presentations.
So let's look at each one just a little bit. The brand telling and visuals, I'm kind of comfortable in that area. That's kind of my ballpark more. But tell me about the way that you look at it or how you feel it's assessed.
Well, so that part, we're really assessing a client's ability or a company's ability to share its brand story, including the way it looks. So as you were saying, it might be taking a good look at your website and at the visuals, but it also might be just the way that it reads. Is the language kind of stilted? Are you really conveying the story of who you are and how you serve your customer? Because that's often the problem. People are really good at saying all the what we do. We do this and we do that. We build these things. We build those widgets. But they're really bad at saying, and it's really a benefit to our customer and how.
I find that people often forget that the way that it should look and the way that it should sound is reflective of what their audience or what their buying public should like. That's where it has to be really looked at carefully. It can't be about their own likes and dislikes necessarily.
That's right.
It's got to be what their customers want to buy.
And it's got to be in the language that their customers use. I worked with a company once that was headed by a bunch of financial guys. And as we talked about their business model, they kept saying, everything we do is transparent, which is fine. And they wanted to say our entire business model is transparent, but
it's good if you're working in glass.
Exactly. When we started to interview some of their customers, we came back and I said, listen, I talked to 40 of your customers. Guess what? One word nobody said. And one guy in the room says transparent. We're like, yeah, they don't say that. They say no hidden fees. They say these guys are always honest. They're upfront. They said all the things that they would say. But they weren't financial guys. So they didn't say, oh, they have a transparent business model. That's just not how they speak.
Right.
So when we came back, what we said is the language on your website's got to reflect the language of the people who are reading this or the language of the people who you're trying to reach. If you're going to say transparent, that's fine, but you better explain what that means.
Yep.
And not just assume, I said transparent business model. Don't you know what that means? Like you said, yeah, it means I can see you through glass. No, it means that there are no hidden fees. It means that everything is right there out in the open. But they had to say that. That's what their customers are saying out there in the open. So that's that brand telling and visuals part. The next one is public relations. And, what we're looking for is for a company's ability to share their brand stories both consciously and consistently. By that, I mean, not just we're doing this as a matter of course, but why are we doing this? Who are we trying to reach? And we look at public relations as being on this spectrum. Kind of from one side where it's the announcement, Company A today announced, all the way to the other side. And on the other side, it's five ways that you can improve your bit line of business with companies A's, you know, with company A services,
so
or something
a little more engaging than just putting something. Here's what we did today.
Exactly.
It's kind of a little bit of a boring.
And if your target audience, let's say example, your target audience is CIOs, you could say, you know, company A today warns CIOs, watch out for ransomware coming through your IoT devices.
Something that catches them right where they're living.
That's right. They're all worried about IoT, yeah, the Internet of Things. And now you start talking about ransomware and they say, really? You've just tied together that? And you have to read that. You know why? Because I guarantee their CEO or their CFO has read it. So that CIO is going to take a look at that. The third area that we're talking about is content marketing. And content marketing can be anything.
It's kind of like the kitchen drawer that has all the odd things in it.
It does. But what we say that's really important around your brand story is that you need to tell that brand story through content that educates and informs both your customers and your prospects. You know, lots of businesses have sell sheets, but when they really need is to have something that tells a compelling story, maybe a case study about how they worked with a client. Now, that doesn't have to be written, by the way, right? It can be video. It could be a podcast like we're doing.
Well, a lot of times the sell sheets I see, they're just simply product-oriented, you know, and yes, yeah, you do want to have those.
They're
but they
filled
don't...
with speeds and feeds.
Yep.
And they don't have anything that conveys.
Yeah, and, you know, most people are starting to realize that any kind of a sale is an emotional thing, and it's very hard to get emotional about a single product. You know, it's always the story behind it that brings it home.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. That single product focus is really a shot in the dark, isn't it? It's not, you know, how does this work for me and what do I do with it? It's just, here, buy these.
Yeah, widget. Well, how did I develop it? What was I thinking of when I created this thing to begin with? What need was I trying to fill?
Right. Why is that right for my business? I recently was looking at some CRM products, customer relationship management products, and one tool broke out a version for speakers, people who go and speak on stage for a living. And what we saw there is they really tailored the tool so that the CRM worked for booking a speaking engagement, then, you know, going out and booking the hotel that you might need to stay at. All of that was right there. And I guess, you know, they had enough people come to them that they decided, okay, you know, we see a market here, let's build it. I thought that was great. All they did is tailored the main product. If you looked at it, it just changed a couple of fields and changed things around a little bit, but
just enough to make it
just enough to make it work. Exactly. Yeah.
It's like a little customization. It's not making a whole new package. It's just polishing the edges so it fits with this particular audience.
That's exactly it. And if you tailor your content marketing, you might have multiple verticals. So what you need to do is think about those vertical industries you serve and how can you tailor the content a little bit. Sometimes it's the language. Sometimes it's the references you use.
So like if I'm selling to a healthcare vertical, it's not going to be exactly the same as if I'm selling to a fire department vertical.
That's right.
Even though it may be the same type of product, but it's going to have a very different feel because, again, it's the audience that's, you know, hopefully purchasing from you that is the decision makers, and you have to speak to them in their own language.
Right. If you're talking to fire department's a good one. If you're talking to a fire department, they're talking about what they can do, and they'll talk about their firemen, maybe their volunteers. They'll talk about the community they serve. That's a language they use all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're talking to healthcare, well, what's the name of the customer in healthcare?
You're talking patients.
It's a patient, right? Yeah. So you have to say, okay, your patients will benefit from this. They talk a lot about improving care, improving patient outcome. That's the language of healthcare. So if you want to talk to them, you might be talking about, if you're an IT provider, you might be talking about the same storage solution, right, but you're going to need to talk about it in two very different ways. One is how that healthcare practitioner can improve patient outcomes through the use of better storage technology, while the fire department is talking about how they can improve maybe better record keeping or about fires and about tools and best practices through, right, you know, that they for serving their communities. And again, it, at the end of the day, it might be that same one product. In fact, that data sheet might look the same, But it's a much better story if you can tell it for those two areas. And that's what we look at in the content marketing. And that's one of the things we assess is, you know, how is your content? What's the strength of the content? Are you telling a story? And then the fourth area is media and presentations. And that's that kind of last pull it together step. So, you know, for example, we say that companies need to be able to effectively share their stories through dynamic presentations or when they're speaking to the media. So we look and say, okay, you've got that story, you've put it together. How well do you tell that story when you're, you know, at a trade show or if you're the guy who's up on stage? How well are you telling
that? Guys who are, you know, trying to get up there on stage and be in front of people and they have a PowerPoint behind them that's this incredibly dense pile of bullets and, you know, they're trying to keep the audience awake unsuccessfully because the audience is trying to read the bullets, trying to listen to them, they lose them.
Yeah, you know, how many times have you sat and watched the presentation where what you see is the back of the presenter's head because they're reading the bullets off the slides behind them as well.
Right.
So, you know, what we do is we work with them to help them when we're working on these. But what we're saying in this assessment is, how well are you prepared for those things? Do you have something prepared? Have you gotten yourself and the whole team ready to tell that story?
And sometimes it's simplifying what they have.
Exactly.
I mean, most of the times with a presentation, you're really just trying to convince your audience of one thing. You might have a couple of other points that you're trying to add in there, but you're really, when they walk out of there, you want them convinced or have their minds changed about one element. And if you've done that, you've done that successfully. People just try to fit too much into what they're saying. They want to get the whole ball of wax in there. You know, everything they've done in the past year. And, you know, that can all be put into a paper.
Right. Well, and it's interesting you say that. One of the questions we ask about is, you know, what do you have ready for people when they leave, when your audience leaves? Do you have some kind of a leave behind, something to give them? How often have you gone to a presentation? It might have been good. It might have had some information. And they leave you with nothing to take out. There's no leave behind. So there is no next step. So you've had a whole audience full of people, and you haven't given them some kind of call to action, some kind of next thing that they can do.
Yeah, it becomes a wasted opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, yes, you could hand out your business card, but wouldn't it be better if you could hand out a brief white paper or case study on, hey, this whole discussion that we've just had, here's a great case study that you can take with you and has your contact information. So it all kind of ties together in the end. That's what we look at.
Some way to direct them online also to pull the stuff down if possible.
Right.
Speaking of, if somebody wants to take this brand assessment, is there a place they can take a look and pull it down from? Or
absolutely. And we've got a short link for that. It's bit.ly/CSGBA. And you can take it, as we say, it's a complimentary assessment, and it will email you back with a PDF returning you your scores, letting you know how you scored yourself, and taking a look at some peer results and giving you some information based on those.
Well, Arthur, that music means that it's time for us to wrap up our program for the day. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us at the podcast.
Build a better brand story for your business. Schedule a complimentary consultation with the Brand Tellers at Communication Strategy Group. Send a note to contact-us@gocsg.com or visit us at communicationstrategygroup.com/contact.